parables, stories that evoke the imagination, often used to make a point. The same day before Jesus taught this parable, Jesus was healing people, doing what he did. But he had suspicious onlookers, questioners, Pharisees. They were making a valiant effort to try to trap Jesus in a theological quandary so that they could build a case to punish him. The crowd that gathered in this setting must have been a mix of people. Those who were inquisitive, wanting to hear more about what this man Jesus had to say. Those who wanted to be healed, who had heard about his healings. And those who were following him, like the disciples. And I suspect those who were also skeptical were there, like the Pharisees. At times, based on context, we can surmise to whom Jesus was directing this teaching. What seems obvious from the beginning of this parable is that the sower, the farmer, is the source of abundance and is generous with the seeds, perhaps even careless, tossing them wherever, everywhere, no matter the type of soil it fell on. We also know that there are four kinds of soils that Jesus speaks of, with an explanation as to how the seed fares, how the crop, the harvest, yields. We see and hear that the interpretation is from a personal standpoint. The soil health within us, within the individual receiving the seed, determines how we are able to have seeds of faith take root. We are exhorted to take care of the rocks and the weeds, the sin of our lives, so our soil may be enriched and become more fruitful. In light of our current milieu, I began to look at this with our cultural system in mind as well. Our country's history, guided by the religious mandate of the doctrine of discovery, has set in place a legacy that has cast aside rocks of self-righteousness and oppression, weeds of judgment, and created a path of racial inequity. Indigenous peoples, Africans and their descendants who were enslaved against their will, Japanese internment camps, Mexican and other Latinos fleeing persecution but met with resistance, and Asians labeled as terrorists, only to name a few, have endured many hardships as a result. In doing so, people of color are disproportionately living in poverty, experience police brutality, and are incarcerated. How can they experience the sower's abundance of seeds when the system they live in makes daily living so hard? Now, I'm not saying that faith cannot be rooted deeply in our brothers and sisters of color. In fact, I find a deep, resilient faith residing there. But the cultural obstacles that are in their way at every turn can crush the spirit, distract the focused, and claim the innocent. I recognize our history is difficult to reconcile, hard to digest for those of us who have lived in this land for generations, hard to acknowledge that we are a part of the devastation, the path, rocks, and weeds have had in others' lives and are toxic in our own. Where is the hope? Where is there a healthy path forward? Perhaps we can learn from a present-day sower, a present-day farmer. Second Mountain Farm, nestled near Hinton, Virginia, where John is working, considers the health of their soil paramount. They have dedicated garden beds that they're constantly amending, planting, weeding, harvesting, and amending again. So the first thing they do is to work up the soil. Whenever they want to make a new garden bed, work it up and layer it with a generous amount of organic compost and compost tea. This provides sort of a natural steroid, if you will, to the seedling as it is planted to give it the best chance of survival and ability to thrive. Second thing they do is they plant a little bit more than what they have planned on needing. They measure in the fact that not all seedlings will produce exactly the same. There will be a few bugs and there will be weeds, but not all. The third thing is weeding. Weeding is a regular practice. Pulling the weeds while young allows the seedling space to grow, which in turn doesn't allow the life of the weed to take over. So that, and the fourth thing they do is they harvest. When these three steps are followed, harvest is full. But their farm is grown. And so as the farm grows, more garden beds are developed. Any clearing in other soil of rocks and weeds and thorns are either composted or controlled burned or placed in a specified area so as not to inhibit any future garden bed. So the soil health of the whole farm is important, not only the health of the existing garden beds. We too need to not only take care of developing the health of our own soil, but the soil of those around us. Building an ecosystem for healthy soil. When our neighbors thrive, we thrive. When we thrive, our neighbors thrive. This could be seen on a one-to-one relationship, familial, neighborhood, organization, and cultural levels. The health of one affects the health of the whole, and the health of the whole affects the health of one. So how might this practice of amend, plant, weed, harvest, amend again inform us as we ponder the state of our own soil in relation to our sower and in relation to each other? So the first is to consider how we clear the rocks and the weeds of judgment, resentment, racial superiority, self-righteousness, fear, worry. Do we do the hard work of transformation, or do we cast it off, angling our anger towards someone else? This takes a posture of willingness to listen. Listen to God. listen to ourselves. Listen to others, especially those that are different from us. The second thing in amending our own internal health, consider life practices that enrich our well of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control for ourselves and for the other. The third thing, as the sower casts the seed generously, we receive more than what we need. What does this look like? How about allowing ourselves to bask in God's limitless love for each one of us? The limitless love God has for you. Give space for the sower to toss generously as many seeds of love and grace in your soil as possible. And let nothing hold you back from receiving it. The next step was to weed. Weed, weed, and weed some more. When judgment crops up, notice it, reflect on it, and pick it. When anger comes up in destructive ways, notice it, name it, reflect on it, and pick it. When self-righteousness appears, the I'm right and you're wrong, notice it, reflect on it, and pick it. Gather the weeds and do something perhaps unconventional. Thank them for what they have taught you. And then set them aside in a designated place to ferment, to compost, transforming them into something that can be used again. It is then that the seeds can grow and harvest comes time. When will you know the harvest is ready? I say trust. Trust that God will guide you. Trust that the fruits of the Spirit that have amended your soil will guide you. And lest we think we have arrived when we harvest, be aware, or perhaps beware, be aware it is time to amend the soil again. Consider the life practices that enrich your soil, your soul, and spend time there again. As I conclude, I'd like to invite you into a time of silence to consider where you are at in your internal health. Do you find yourself with heavy rocks or choking weeds? Do you find yourself in a place where you want to share of an abundance of harvest within? Are you in a place where you just need to rest in God's limitless love for you? So we will listen. Sink into a deep listening. Where is the sower in relationship to your soil?